is The Clitheroe Kid with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross and Diana Day in...
Good for Money. All right, Mr. Brocklebank, I'll do it for five bob.
James, I don't want my car washing.
I'll do a good job for you. I'll wash it, wipe it and change the oil in your headlamps.
Ha-ha. Look, I'm not giving you 5 shillings to wash my car.
Well, 4 and a tanner, then, including a wax finish. I'll give it a rub over with a candle.
James, if you will look out of the window, you'll see that my car is spotlessly clean.
Well, can I give you a haircut?
What?
3 and 6 all in. 3 bob if you bring your own basin. And I throw in the weather forecast and the funny jokes for nothing.
James, you wouldn't be by any chance hard up for money.
No, I wouldn't, if you'd give me some.
Look, I know why you want the 5 shillings. I've heard about you spending it instead of giving it to your teacher. No wonder you're not going on the school outing tomorrow.
Well, I didn't waste the money.
What? Apparently the whole 5 shillings went on sweet ice cream and hot dogs.
Not all of it. Some went on stomach powder.
Trying to be funny won't help, James. You can't go on the school outing tomorrow, so you might as well come on the trip I've organised to Hillborough Hall.
Ooh, how exciting. I've heard about that place. One of England's stately homes, complete with suits of armour, old Roman ruins and haunted by a ghost. It's the rent man still trying to get paid.
James, you should take an interest in fine old buildings and not hold them up to ridicule.
You know what? I'll bet this one's full of rats and it's damp, not fit to live in.
It was once the home of Oliver Cromwell.
How long is it since he lived in it?
I don't know, about 300 years.
You see, even he doesn't like it.
James, Oliver Cromwell is dead.
I knew he wouldn't last long in that damp old house.
Will you stop talking nonsense?
All right, I will, Mr. Brocklebank. I'll just keep me big mouth shut.
Now, look.
Oh, hello, Humphrey.
Well, look, either keep quiet or talk sense.
I beg your pardon.
No, not you, Mrs. Clitheroe. You can keep your big mouth... speak whenever you like.
What's going on here?
It all started when James wanted 5 shillings.
Say no more, Humphrey. Jimmy, I'm warning you.
I know, I've had it all from me grandad. You'll come with us to Hillborough Hall, my lad. Because if we leave you at home, you'll probably pawn the piano.
Well, stop being cheeky and don't annoy Mr. Brocklebank.
All right, Mum. I'll come on your trip, Mr. Brocklebank.
Well, fancy you thinking up a dodge like this, Harry Whittle. You have got brains, even if you do come from Liverpool.
All right, that's enough of your mancunical humour, Higgy. I mean, I don't want to brag about it, you know how immodest I am, but... When Hump Brocklebank mentioned his trip to Hillborough Hall, it reminded me of an old pal of ours who has licentious premises in the village.
Oh, well, it'll be nice to see old George Dobson again. Since he gave up being landlord of the Rose and Crown, I haven't cared much for the place.
Oh, no. They've started asking for cash now.
You're asking for something as well, Higgy.
Oh, now then, lads, let's not fall out. I mean, we're all for one and one for all, like them 3 buccaneers. You know, pathos, porthole and Arabic.
It was only a joke, Pete. What's this old boozer called, Harry?
His name's Peter Sinclair.
Oh, very good.
Well, we'll be all right for entertainment on the bus tomorrow. With a couple of comedians like you around.
Sorry, Pete. The old pub, Higgy, is called the Forester's Arms, and according to the letter that George wrote me, it's set in a Panama of Sylvanian beauty.
You are?
It's among some trees. Oh. So the ale's straight out of the wood. Oh!
Now, look, just be serious a minute. There's something about this trip that's bothering me.
What is it, Pete?
I don't like the idea of keeping it a secret from Pat and Brocklebank.
Keeping what a secret, Grandad?
Hello, Big Ears has arrived.
Hello, Mr. Noddybottom. O'Higgin. Hey, is it right you fixed the bus for the trip tomorrow?
That's right, I'm driving it.
Grandad, you better get your insurance up to date.
That does it, Pete. Tomorrow your grandson rides in the boot.
Oh, no, no, Higgy. The lad wasn't serious. He was only gesticulating.
Well, if it was my lad... if he was my lad, he wouldn't be coming in here with his jokes.
If I was your lad, I'd have nothing to joke about. I'll answer the door, ma'am.
Hello, Jimmy, it's me.
Me?
Is it Alfie?
No, I'm Jimmy. That's you, Alfie.
Yeah, no, it's me, Jimmy. You're not me, Jimmy, that's you. I'm me, Alfie, oh, I hope.
Come in, come in, whoever you are.
Thank you very much.
Well, are you all ready for the big day out, Alfie?
Yeah, but I nearly wasn't. Because when I asked my mum to call me, I'd forgotten what time we're leaving. So I wasn't sure whether I wanted to be up for 8 and down for 2:30, down for 7, and up here for 8. So I got up at 7, came down at 8:30. Remember, we were leaving here at 9 and went back up again. I overslept.
And when are you going to waken up?
I'm awake now, you dad. You'll be out like a light when I've thumped you.
Ignore him, Alfie. The bus hasn't come yet.
Oh, hello, Susan. Yeah. Oh, I say, I can see him. Your legs. Your shorts. You're wearing short legs.
What?
It means you're in the slips.
Yeah, that's right. Shut up, will you?
Oh, it's such a lovely day. I thought I'd wear my new shorts. Mother doesn't think they're long enough.
Oh, they're not too short for shorts. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing a bit more of you. I mean, you've got such nice... I mean, they're both empty tart.
You should know the steam coming out of your ears, not to mention your mouth.
Shut up, you. I've heard all about the trouble you caused last night. If you've any sense, you'll behave yourself today.
Oh, I will. I'll do nothing but good. When you two go for a walk in the bushes, I'll shout to all the birds, cover your eyes up, little dicky birds. Snuggings in progress.
Will you be quiet, you cheeky little monkey?
Just cut that out. We're having no fighting and arguing today. This is Mr. Brocklebank's trip, and I'm not having you spoiling it.
Mr. Higginbottom, I don't want to be a nuisance.
Well, shut your mouth and you won't be.
I only wish to say that I still think you've taken the wrong turning for Hillborough Hall.
Look, Brocklebank, I'm driving this bus, but when I want advice, I'll ask the organ grinder, not the monkey.
Do such charm. Look, I still say this is the wrong road to Hillborough Hall.
Mr. Higginbottom's not going to the hall. He's going to the pub.
Harry, change your seat, will you? Sit on his head.
Oh, quiet, Higgy. Hump, I've got a pack of cards here. Would you fancy a quick game of Chemin de Fer or something?
No, I would not. Now, what's this about a public house? Mrs. Clitheroe, do you know?
Well, I didn't have a chance to tell you in the rush. It's an old friend who kept the Rose and Crown. Not a friend of mine, these three. He keeps the Forester's Arms in the village.
I see. And I was labouring under the delusion that they'd come to enjoy the delights of the hall.
Look, Humphrey... we'll be having a look round the hall, won't we, Harry?
Oh, I hope. We're all very fond of old hysterical relics, aren't we, Higgy?
I were mad about them. And after you've taken us to the hall, Brocklebank, I'll take you to the pub and buy you half a shandy.
Grandad, how much is half a shandy?
Usually about a shilling, Jim.
Oh, heck. Bang goes Ozzy's pocket money for the next 6 weeks.
Pete, get the first aid kit out of the dash. Your grandson's going to need it.
Jimmy, just shut up and go and find something to do.
Oh, heck, all right then. Can I put my head out of the window?
Aye, and then wind it up. Just do what you like, as long as you keep quiet and behave yourself.
Right, Grandad.
Now, let's all calm down and enjoy the rest of the journey in peace.
A jolly good idea, if I may say so. Let us hope there will be no more bother.
Mr. Higginbottom, stop the bus. Pull up, quick.
What is it? Coppers?
No, me cap's blown off.
It's cap's blown off. Don't bother finding it. You'll have no head to put it back on. You should have left him at home.
James, I found your cap, so will you kindly... James, where are you? Are you behind those bushes?
Oh,
don't tell me. Let me guess. Percy Edwards. Now, will you come here, you naughty boy?
Yes, Mr. Brocklebank. Hey, has anybody ever told you when you're annoyed, your tash quivers?
After the trouble you've caused me today, it should be doing the Highland Fling.
Well, it's your own fault. I could have gone on the school trip if you'd have given me the £5.
James, you'd have very little trouble in raising money if you were a well-behaved boy. And if I may say so, that will be the day.
What do you mean? I can be good if I want to.
Can you really?
Yes, I'll try anything once.
James, the leopard can never change its spots, I'm afraid.
I'm not a leopard. I'm a Cub Scout. Go on, bet me. Bet me. Go on, bet me. Go on.
I am not having any bets with you.
You see, you're all talk. Well, money talks louder than words. Why don't you put your money where your mouth is?
James, how dare you?
I mean, it's what Mr. Whittle says to me grandad when they're arguing about football. Mr. Brocklebank, I'll bet you £5 I can be as good as gold for the rest of the trip.
James, I am not making any wagers with you.
All right, Mr. Brocklebank. But you heard what Mr. Higginbottom said. His brother-in-law's driving the bus back because he's a teetotaler.
A teetotaler.
That's right. So, Mr. Higginbottom will have had a few pints. I'll give him my seat next to you.
Well, what if you do?
He gets very nasty when he's had a few. Yeah. And if you don't sing to his mouth organ, he thumps you.
Mouth organ? What nonsense.
And then he plays you a pontoon and you have to let him win. If you grab his bank, he grabs your windpipe.
Look, on second thoughts, I've decided to take you up on this bet.
I thought you would.
Well, you are to be good for the remainder of the outing, and if you aren't, you'll pay me 5 shillings.
Don't worry. You just keep a lookout with your camera to snap them flying pigs.
Oh, and when can I expect to see these flying pigs?
The minute you win £5 off brilliant, clever Clitheroe.
Well, James, we certainly got a lovely day for it, haven't we?
For what? I'm fed up doing nothing.
Now. Surely you can think of something to do.
I can think of plenty of things, but every one of them would win you £5. Oh, I'm fed up.
Oh, really, James? It's only 20 minutes since we arrived. It's not 12 o'clock yet.
Oh, and we won't be home till 6. I'll never do it.
Now, look, you forced me into this bet, so I'm keeping you to it. You'll be good until we get home, or else I want 5 shillings.
I know. Well, for a start, you'd better hang on to these.
Oh, what are they?
Me pea shooter, catapult and itching powder.
I certainly will, thank you.
Oh, and me white mouse.
Hand it up. Take it away! Oh, the horrid beast!
It's only a clockwork mouse. It was just to move our Susan from the picnic if she was eating too much.
Oh, what a boy. I've just thought of something you can do. It's almost lunchtime. Why not start getting the picnic things out of the bus for your mother?
Oh, all right. Maybe the sight of food will cheer me up a bit.
Oh, good. The others should be here in a moment.
I think I should have kept that itching powder for Alfie. It'd be worth £5 to watch him doing the rumba.
Leave that food alone, you little scrounger.
What are you talking about?
Susan, what's going on there?
The same thing as always. Jimmy's 7 stomachs was trying to get at the food first.
Jimmy, you are a little imp.
I wasn't going to eat anything.
Oh, no. I suppose you were just going to lay out the picnic things for Mother.
I'll lay you...
James, remember our agreement.
Well, old Scraggy... Scrag me... Mum, ask Mr. Brocklebank.
He's telling the truth, Mrs. Clitheroe. It was I who suggested he unloaded the things.
Yes, and if I could borrow 5 bob, I'd suggest something that my darling sister could do.
Yeah, getting ready for the picnic. Is there anything I can do?
Yes, hold our Susan's hand while she takes a running...
James!
A walk by the river.
Well, come on then, lads. It looks as though we're just in time for lunch.
Ah, and I'm ready for it and all, Pete.
So am I. My stomach's beginning to ramble.
Well, you just wait there while we set everything out. Bring those paper dishes and cups, please, Susan.
Right, Mother. You better help to carry something, Alfie.
Oh, yes, I'll carry you. Your food. Well, not your food, everybody's food.
I'll take the hamper. You bring the bread and milk, Alfie.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, I'll bring the teapot as well. It'll save a trip back.
He didn't save that trip, did he?
Hands up, all those who like tea with no milk made in the sugar bowl.
That wasn't funny, James. It's bad manners to laugh at people's misfortunes.
Sorry, Mr. Brocklebank.
Come along, everybody. It's ready.
All right, our pass. Come on, Jim, let's see what's on the menu. How about some horse devours? Followed by asparagation soup and roasted peasant.
Right, whack, and we'll finish up with some of that smelly cheese with the magnets in it. You know, gondolas.
Enjoyed that tour around the hall, Humphrey. Wasn't it interesting, eh?
Oh, absolutely fascinating. Didn't you think so, James?
Oh, simply spiffing. It was like a cemetery with lights on.
Don't be funny. I noticed you kept dashing after the guide, asking him questions.
I kept asking him the same question and getting the same answer. You'll have to wait.
What?
Till the snack bar opened for lemonade.
Oh, Mrs. Clitheroe, I'm afraid the youngsters of today are not interested in our wonderful history.
What's wonderful about your history? Me grandad said in the war you were an RAF kook in the pay of the Germans.
Don't you be so cheeky.
So, you can be good, can you?
I can. I am. And that doesn't count because me grandad said it. I mean, it wasn't me. Ta-ra, Mr. Brocklebank. Ta-ra, Mum. I'll see you later.
Well, he seemed to get scared all of a sudden, Humphrey. Did he think you were going to smack him?
No, the pain he felt was a twinge in his pocket.
Pardon?
Oh, it's the secret between James and I for the moment. I'd rather explain later, if I may.
Oh, of course. You needn't bother at all, really. Now, look, you needn't hang around here with me. I've got some knitting and I know you want to be off with your camera.
Well, I would like to get some pictures of the old Roman excavations. Are you sure you don't mind?
Not at all, Humphrey. Off you go.
Right, you are. Yeah, I find old ruins so fascinating. Well, bye-bye, Mrs. Clitheroe.
Bye, Humphrey. Oh, well, that's when a woman knows she's reached middle age, when a man prefers to spend the afternoon with a Roman ruin.
Humphrey. I'm wondering why
revenge for Lee Marvin.
Is that you, Jimmy?
No, sir. I'm a talent scout for the movies. I want to sign you up for Holloway.
Yeah, Holloway's a... Holloway's a jail.
With that voice, that's where you belong.
What are you doing spying on us, peeping Jimmy?
I'm not spying, Godiva, so keep your hair on.
What you doing over here?
Same as you, Alfie. I'm talking to a bird in the trees.
You cheeky young puppy.
I'm a puppy. You stand there with your hair like a St. Bernard, eyes like a cocker spaniel, nose like a pom, and it's a wonder my mum hasn't to buy a licence for you.
That does it. I'm not going to smack you. Mother said if you annoyed Alfie and me, I just had to tell her. And that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Go on then, telltale tit. Your tongue'll split. And if you don't slow down, so will your shorts.
Honestly, how could such a nice family have such a cheeky monkey in it?
Well, she's always been like that. When she was young, they used to throw nuts through the bars of a playpen.
Now, look, you're asking for trouble, you are. I'll tell your granddad what you said about Susan.
I'm sorry, Alfie, but she's always getting me into trouble.
Don't blame her. You get yourself into trouble being cheeky and naughty.
I haven't been naughty since we came. I've bet Mr. Brocklebank five... Weck, weck me bet. If he hears about Susan, I've had me lolly.
What are you on about? I mean, what bet's this?
Nothing. I haven't had a bet. I mean, hey, one good bet deserves another.
You what? I don't get it.
No, neither will he. At least, Alfie... You're a bit of a gambler, aren't you?
Me? I don't gamble.
Of course you don't. With your brilliant brain, you only bet on certainties, don't you?
Do I?
Yes, I've seen you. Flashing your little pencil at the church bingo. That's like gambling, isn't it?
Well, yes, I suppose so, but...
I thought so. You are a gambler. Well, let's see if you're really a sport or just a bluff. Cameraman, Lord Snowdon Brocklebank. Pressing the camera against his eye, his mouth open. If I shout, I wonder if he'll swallow it. I'll try. Mr. Brocklebank! Mr. Brocklebank! Hey, Peter Scott! Watch the birdie!
Oh, James, you startled me. Well, fancy yelling like that just as I was closing the shutter.
It was a good job you closed your cake all as well. Or you might have swallowed it and given yourself an X-ray.
James, remember our wager. Don't start being naughty or you'll be sorry.
I remember it all right, but I'm afraid it's you'll be sorry.
Don't be so sure. Anyway, James, I was about to photograph the ruins of this old fort which was left by the Romans.
Well, I'm not surprised they left it. It's got no roof on.
It had a roof on when they left.
Well, there'll be trouble when they get back and find it's been pinched.
You know very well what I mean. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll try once again to get my photograph. It's rather tricky getting it all in the picture.
You're standing too near to get a good photo. Why don't you go on the hill over the other side of that stream?
And just how do you suggest I get across since there's no bridge?
Jump it.
Don't be ridiculous. I wouldn't get more than halfway.
I'll do it in two jumps. And I'll swing across like Tarzan. Climb a tree, beat your chest, if you can find it, and leap.
What was that?
I mean, climb a tree, if you can find one, with a creeper on it.
Will you stop being so silly? I've no intention of trying to leap across the stream.
Well, roll your trousers up and paddle. It doesn't look deep.
Oh, no. You persuaded me to do that once before, and I was soaked from head to foot. The water was 4 feet deep, but you assured me it couldn't be more than 2 inches because it only came halfway up a duck.
Yes, and you believed me. Well, if you won't go in the water, I'll have to think of something else. Some other way of helping, I mean.
Don't bother. I'll get all the pictures I want standing here.
It's not as easy as I thought.
Pardon?
Granted. Hey, Mr. Brocklebank, why don't you go over to that farm and take the photo?
Certainly not. It's private property and I would be trespassing.
Yes, and you could finish up like the man I saw on the telly who went in a jungle village by mistake.
What happened to him?
They tied him to a post, covered him with treacle, and left him to the giant ants.
Oh, how awful. Where did you see that?
On Watch With Mother.
What?
No, I'm kidding. Was on a film on BBC Two. Unsuitable for kids like me. Honest, I had to stop up till term 11 o'clock to see it. Giant ants they were. Great, big, horrible, staring eyes. Are ants in England like that?
No. Yeah, be quiet. I'm trying to get some photographs.
I only wanted to know if the ants over here were dangerous.
Well, they're not. Not like those you mean.
Oh, well, that's all right then. You needn't worry. Just carry on.
Oh, thank you. What do you mean I needn't worry? About what?
About them ants that just crawled up your trouser leg.
Oh, I see. Yeah, what? Yeah, my trouser, where are they? I can't see anything.
Oh, they've gone now, up your slacks.
Oh, help, help. Oh, do something. I can feel them, I think. Oh, no, I'll have to take my trousers off. Oh, see if anyone is about, James.
Why can't you take them off yourself?
Don't try to be funny. I'm being eaten alive. No, oh, I've got to get them off. Yes, that's it. Oh, where are they?
You look at your legs while I shake your trousers. Give them here.
Give me my trousers back.
I'm shaking them for you. Hey, you better do some gymnastics. Flap your arms about.
What for?
So our Susan will think you're doing exercises.
Susan?
Yes, she's just coming over.
Oh, help, I must hide.
In the bushes. Go on, quick. Near the stream there.
Well, bring my trousers over here quickly.
It's too late. Get down in the bushes and pretend you're a duck. Now, where's Alfie? Oh, there he is, the mug. Alfie? Alfie! Over here!
James! James, what are you shouting for?
It wasn't Susan, Mr. Brocklebank. It was Alfie walking with a wobble. Alfie, come on, over here.
James, you were lying to me. You deliberately got me to run away for nothing.
Yeah, but did you want Jim? I don't believe it.
I'm sorry, Mr. Brocklebank. I was only pulling your leg.
About Susan, you mean, I know.
No, about the ants.
What? What do you mean there are no ants? Do you wicked, wicked boy. Well, that does it. You were going to be good, eh? Well, you've lost your bet, and for once I'm going to make you pay.
I lost my bet half an hour ago when I called our Susan. But don't worry, I'll pay you. Hand it over, Alfie.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it. Why, I always fall when you do.
You're not getting the money from Alfred, James. You will pay it yourself. I bet you 5 shillings that you couldn't be good and you've lost.
I know, but I bet Alfie 10 shillings that by 4 o'clock I'd have your trousers off and I've won.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, Diana Day as Susan, Tony Melody as Mr. Higginbottom, Brian Truman as Mr. Whittle, and Colin Edwin as Humphrey Brocklebank. The recorded programme was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey, and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the Kid himself.
Bus, I thought of what the vicar would say about me making 5 bob profit out of Alfie's daftness. The vicar wouldn't like it. He says we shouldn't take advantage of people who are weaker, even if it's only in the head. The vicar would have given him his money back. So I thought, I'm glad I'm not a vicar.
Thank you.
Mr. Brattlebank.
Well, I'll dirty it then.
Look, it was only washed 2 days ago.
Let me look at it. Well, wherever you went, you were robbed. Who did it?
You did.
Oh, yes, I did. Souvenirs on sale at the gates. Death Watch Beatles, sixpence each. And you can't blame him either. What sort of a home is it that has 65 rooms and no telly?
Well, stop being cheeky and don't annoy Mr. Brocklebank.
All right, Mum. I'll come on your trip, Mr. Brocklebank. But instead of going to loot round the hall, I'll guard the picnic basket.
Oh, that's generous of you.
Oh, think nothing of it. If anybody comes to pinch our grub, I'll hide it where they'll never think of looking. In Jim's tum.
The boy's incorrigible. But I do see his point, Mrs. Clitheroe. I don't suppose the old hall will be of much interest to him.
Well, I'd have said the same about Harry Whittle and Mr. Higginbottom. But they're coming with us, aren't they?
Yes, and I must confess I'm surprised. Higginbottom has even organised the transport for me. A small minibus. Now, why would he want to go and see an old, rather derelict mansion?
Oh, he once told me an Aussie. He's very interested in old ruins, but he calls them the wife's family.
That'll do. I suppose Harry and Higginbottom are coming with us to keep Father company. That's probably what they're discussing in the living room there.
Right, Mum, I'll go and talk to the men. You stop here with Mr. Brocklebank.
Look, wash your hands for tea first and don't go rubbing Mr. Higginbottom up the wrong way. You know how mad he gets.
What was that?
I said it was nothing to joke about, driving a bus all that way.
Yes. Well, when you get on my bus, book single. Pete, does he have to stop in here?
Jimmy, leave us alone, will you? Now, just clear off.
All right, I will, as soon as I've found out what's the secret you don't want to tell me, Mum, and Mr. Brocklebank.
Luke, it's none of your business.
What isn't?
The pub we're going to tomorrow, I mean... Ow.
Oh, I get it now. You three need some beer tomorrow.
What do you mean, Jim?
To drink before you go round the hall, cos you've heard it's haunted, and you want to see the ghost of a pink elephant.
Father, I've to carry you around like a newborn babe. Now, what is it you want now?
Oh, it's all right, Pat. I can find it myself. I don't need your help. I've searched everywhere. Where the devil is it?
If you'll just tell me what it is.
No, Pat, I can manage. I'm not senile yet, you know. Oh, maybe it's upstairs.
Look, Mr. Higginbottom will be here with the bus any second. What is it you're looking for?
My new corduroy cap. Somebody's moved it. I cannot find it, and I've looked everywhere.
Well, it's only a suggestion, but have you tried the top of your head?
What? Oh, I'm wearing it. It's all this rushing about. We should have got up earlier.
You what? I was up at 6 o'clock.
We know you were, still trying to scrounge money.
All I did was wait for the milkman to tell him if he was feeling tired, I'd carry his cash bag for him.
Yes, well, just you behave yourself today. Jimmy, behave yourself. Hopefully, look at all the lovely blossom. Isn't it lovely?
Exquisite.
No, Humphrey, don't be so upset.
No, don't get the hump. Hump.
Now, look, I'm quite all right. All I want is this bus to arrive safely at Hillborough Hall before there's any serious trouble.
What do you mean, serious trouble?
Well, for one thing, you're speeding, Higginbottom. I suppose it's the reason why you keep glancing in your inside mirror, keeping a sharp lookout for the police, no doubt.
No, watching our Susan and Alfie snogging on the back seat.
Are you calling me a peeping Tom?
Of course not. Your name's Horatio. Daft, isn't it?
Your name will be mud in a minute. I'll stick you in a ditch.